south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Well, I'm back in the saddle again after another Expat Insiders Seminar. Yep, it finished a couple of days ago, but there are still some stragglers in and around Guatemala getting their own boots on the ground. That's a good thing. Our expat concierge ladies are busy too, holding people's hands and taking them on their little missions in their own plan B. Now, as always, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly here in Latin America. And due to mañana time, crazy traffic, and other unforeseen circumstances, things never work out exactly the way you plan. So, for example, the weather, that beautiful Altiplano forever spring weather, did not cooperate for the very first time in all the seminars I've done. An extreme cold front came through and everybody was chilly, even sometimes cold to the bone. However, about 3 days before the seminar, we warned all attendees with an email that this unprecedented cold front was coming in, so do pack a jacket, stay warm. So the catchphrase for the first couple of days of the seminar anyway was, damn, where's global warming when you need it? Other than that, we were able to hit almost all of our planned stops, hit our boots on the ground destinations. And being that it was a very big seminar this time, it seems that we were at the very limit of our cat herding abilities. Ever try to herd cats? Oh, and yes, we did have repeat offenders. I think it was 5 or 6 of them this time. And you know, people often ask, why are there repeat offenders? Well, my answer is you get hit with the fire hose at the first seminar, and after that, you're building on your knowledge, not to mention we always change things around a bit from seminar to seminar, so you get an updated, changing perspective, and again, build on your experience. And there's the invaluable new connections you make and the networking with all new people. For example, from this particular group, I must have heard at least a couple of dozen really cool brand new ideas for businesses. I mean, you can't get that unless you've got boots on the ground here. And that effect is on steroids when you're off the gringo tourist trail. Because, you see, if you're hanging around with all gringos on the gringo tourist trail, you can pretty much guarantee whatever you've thought about in the way of a new business has been done before by another gringo, and you don't want to be in competition with other gringos. Okay, so we had our repeat offenders at the seminar, and sad to say, you know the old saying, there's one in every crowd? Meaning that at every third or fourth seminar, there seems to be one particular person that rubs most people the wrong way. You get that, you know? Just like back in high school, grade school, even in college, there was one person that you just didn't want to sit next to for whatever reason. Yep, and once in a while, we get them at our seminars, too. In fact, a few years ago, we even had a seminar crasher. A guy that came said he paid by PayPal, but it never came through. Said PayPal had been screwing with his account lately. You can believe that. I mean, PayPal sucks, doesn't it? That was like a week before the seminar. Said he'd pay on arrival. Well, he arrived. Said he was going to pay by check, but he left his checkbook in the hotel room. Well, things get crazy at these seminars. A lot of things to do. We're always running behind. He got through the whole seminar, flew off, and never paid. Of course, we checked on him later. Turns out he had a history of doing exactly that. He was a first-class deadbeat. A seminar crasher. Yep, there's even a term for it. Oh, well, you live and you learn. Sometimes. Well, guess what? It happened again. Yet another deadbeat. I should have known. Early on in the seminar, people were coming up to me whispering, Johnny, if at all possible, can I be seated far away from Mr. BS at the restaurants and stuff? Funny, his initials are actually BS. Kind of says it all. So about 3/4 of the seminar attendees picked up on this blowhard right away. Blowhard, not my word, but often used in reference to BS. Though a few attendees, having never come close to a real-life fading celebrity before, and it's true, he really was somewhat of a celebrity many moons ago, so there were a few attendees that bought into his game. Because, you know, people like that do tend to suck all the energy out of the room when they walk in. Which doesn't have to be a bad thing, except when you want everything for free. So, unfortunately, everywhere we went, he put the waiters and managers of hotels and restaurants and stuff on the spot, demanding free meals and hotel rooms, etc. If someone happened to ask him for a photo or an autograph, that was the trade-off, he said. Food and hotel space for photos. What? The problem, you see, is no one really recognized him because he's not famous in Latin America. They all thought he was Mike Tyson or some oversized sports guy. And you know, because of ego and low self-esteem, a guy like that can't walk into a public place without demanding some recognition and causing undue commotion. That's part of the game I was talking about. Which is why, by the way, when he's not recognized, which down here is the usual case, by the way, he immediately starts handing out little photo cards, which gathers a little crowd of employees. They take his photos, and then he demands the free food. Quite a little racket he's got going. However, I happen to know a few celebrities myself, 100 times more popular than he is, and guess what? They pay for their own food, and they buy their own hotel rooms. The last thing they want to do is draw attention to themselves. By the way, earlier on, I did a private seminar with this guy and saw his antics, and when he wanted to be a repeat offender, I said, no way, it's just too disruptive having him around. But in the end, I caved, and we made a pact, an agreement. I'd let him come back as a repeat offender if and only if he didn't pull his antics and try to squeeze free meals and hotel rooms out of every place we went. Now, obviously, it's not embarrassing to him, but it is to everyone else around. Well, it proves that first impressions aren't all what they're cracked up to be. Some people aren't nearly as smart or as well educated as they first appear to be. Enough said about that, but you know, you live and you learn. Oh, and the topper is, he was on a cash basis with all the hotels because they wouldn't accept his credit cards. So yes, I was dumb. He stiffed me and some of my seminar ladies too. That's the worst part. I have to say the more seasoned seminar attendees caught on right away. Again, only proving there's never a dull moment at Johnny Mueller's Expat Insider Seminars, huh? Okay, moving on. You know, a lot of people came down to the seminar in conjunction with trying to get their temporary or permanent residency status in Guatemala, because that's where we held the seminar. And wouldn't you know it, right in the middle of the seminar, one of our attendees walked up to me, pulled out the iPhone. By the way, her and her husband are gringos who are living in Panama and went through the process of successfully obtaining their own residency there. So if they're already in Panama, why would they come to my seminar in Guatemala? Well, that's a subject we'll take up on another day. Anyway, she showed me in black and white on her iPhone that the Panama legislature just made a big change in the temporary residency requirements. No longer do you get temporary residency for 1 year and then renew it every year thereafter if you like, for a fee, of course. That's what governments live for, fees, right? And of course, after having temporary residency for a while, you could switch to permanent residency mode. Well, it turns out just last week they changed the law and temporary residency now can only be obtained for 6 months at a time. A real pain in the ass, by the way, for a lot of reasons, not the least of which if you travel back and forth to the States. You have to plan everything around that 6 months period when you need to get the renewal. And if you overshoot it, you have to start all over. So you got to be back there every 6 months to renew it. Suffice it to say, it's complicated things a great deal for people, gringos that is, who have obtained or are on their way to obtaining temporary residency in Panama. Now, of course, the idea in any Latin country is to go straight to permanent residency if you can, but to do that, you have to prove income, you know, pension, social security, trust, rental income, continuous annuity payouts, whatever, or make a substantial investment in qualified property, real estate, business, whatever, in that Latin country. So that's why people often start out with temporary residency, because you don't have to make an investment in that Latin country or prove a continuous minimum monthly income from an outside country source. So anyway, I bring up that changing situation in Panama just to show you how governments change their policies willy-nilly and without any advanced warning, which is why it's so imperative that you get started now and push on towards that permanent residency in whatever Latin country you plan on settling in. Once you've got that, you're grandfathered in, then whatever that legislature tries to pull, you're in and unaffected. Yep, it's unfortunate. I can only imagine how many gringo lives have been screwed up by the fact that Panama changed their temporary residency law from a year to 6 months. By the way, not so long ago, Panama temporary residencies were for 2 years. So just a little heads up. You got to go for your residency status now. By the way, a little heads up for all of you who couldn't make it to the Insider Seminar that just ended. You know, to keep my seminars very personalized, I limit them to around 25 people. This time, I turned down around 8 people because we were at the limit a few weeks before we launched. And already, people are asking to sign up for my next one, which I think will be in July if the world doesn't go down the poop chute, meaning the U.S. doesn't slap down some heavy restrictions on travel, which is coming, you know. And being that my next planned seminar will be around 6 months from now, anything can and will happen in that time frame, you know. So, I don't believe it's a good idea to sit on your thumbs waiting for your plan B to coincide with the next seminar. The best suggestion I could give right now is to go to expatplanb.com and check out my 8-hour Expat Essentials course. That'll get you started right now and help you to get your ducks lined up. It's the best way to hit the ground running on your own Plan B from right up there in the States. Do check it out. At least see the first 3 videos. Believe me, the course has helped a lot of people. You'll see that it answers tons of questions and takes a lot of the confusion out of setting up your own Plan B. So do check it out. That's www.expatplanb.com. Now, kind of on the same subject, people ask me all the time, what are the other good countries in Latin America, ones that I might go to if I wasn't in Central America right now? Well, I always did like Ecuador. However, gringos seem to be piling in there. And if you don't believe that, listen to this. On December 28, 2016, the last day Ecuador's National Assembly was in session, President Rafael Correa's tax on extraordinary profits on property was passed. Now, it's called the Ley de Plusvalía, that's overvaluation. Now, a few details about this law. It's intended to curb land speculation that, according to Correa and his party, drives the prices of real estate out of the reach of most Ecuadorians. And who do you think it's directed at? Gringos, of course. Correa has said in many press statements that gringos are driving what he calls the land boom and pricing Ecuadorians out of the market completely. Now, if that isn't the gringo disadvantage, I don't know what is. And you know, just the fact that the National Assembly there would pass such a law does not bode well for gringos who want to move to Ecuador or who are living there now. The law was passed 79-27. Now, it does not affect the sales of property that's currently owned. Okay, doesn't sound bad yet. But get this. When you sell that property, you're automatically hit with a 75% tax on the capital gain. Now, it's a sliding scale, but that 75% maximum rate happens to fall right in the price range where most gringos lately have been buying. Now, following that vote, conservative presidential candidates repeated their claim that the law will discourage investment and is poorly timed, especially during an economic recession. Supporters of the law, however, claim that many average Ecuadorians have been completely priced out of the housing market by price inflation instituted by the arrival of gringos. Statistics provided by the National Association of Real Estate Agents in Ecuador show that property prices increased 200% across the board from 2007 to 2014, while inflation and wages have only increased by 30% in that time. By the way, the actual English translation of the law goes like this. Quote, all persons who purchase a property before the effective date of the law, that would be when it's finally signed by the president, will pay the previous capital gains tax when sold. Those who purchase a property after the effective date shall pay the new capital gains rate on a sliding scale according to the price of the sale. By the way, other people in the know in Ecuador writing op-ed pieces are saying that the real reason for the 75% real estate capital gains tax is not to help poor Ecuadorians who can't afford housing, but to offset the huge loss in government revenue due to the over 50% reduction in the worldwide price of oil, which is the Ecuadorian government's major source of tax revenue. Speaking of Ecuador, gringos, and taxes, how about these new taxes that have just been added in Ecuador? And who will they affect most, gringos or locals? You be the judge. First, I'll point out that the cost of living has increased in Ecuador dramatically, especially since the tariffs on imported products were substantially increased in 2015. Now, according to the Ecuadorian government, these tax measures were implemented in response to the economic crisis triggered by the appreciation of the dollar. Remember, Ecuador's got a dollar-based economy, and the fall in international prices for the country's principal export, oil. The crisis was deepened on April 16th after that big earthquake that hit the Ecuadorian coast. So, okay, then as of 2015, here's a little list of the main taxes that have risen in Ecuador. Every one of them initiated by that pusbag socialist Rafael Correa and his party. Number one, in May 2016, new taxes were introduced on products such as sugary drinks, cigarettes, commercial telephone and cell phone operations, and beer. And on June 1st, 2016, the VAT, that's the value-added tax, that would be what's called the IVA in Spanish-speaking countries, rose from 12% to 14%. Now, that's not a 2% increase. That's actually around a 15% tax increase. Yep, people in government and the newspapers say it's a 2% increase, but do the math. It's a 15% increase, 12% to 14%. Now, the IVA tax, or VAT tax, is the worst tax of all. It's a universal tax on every single thing you buy when you're buying from the legitimate economy and getting a receipt, making it the most insidious tax of all. Because, for example, if you're producing a coffee maker, the thing is taxed over and over again from raw materials to finished product. It's the multiplier effect at work. Now, you might recall third world countries like Ecuador and Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Bolivia, where 30 to 50% of the business that's being done is baja la agua, which means underwater, meaning no receipts, cash only, therefore no taxes. That's why Latin countries assess the IVA or VAT tax. It's a tax that can hit every business and retail outfit with over and over again. And funny enough, people who are working off the books for cash, though in their own businesses, they have nothing to do with VAT and pay no tax, anytime they buy anything where they get a receipt, or factura it's called down here, they're stuck paying that tax because it's built right into the price of the service or goods. So again, the universal tax, the VAT tax in Ecuador, is now 14%. In comparison to other Latin countries, it ranges from around 10 to a whopping 22%. Can you guess which country clobbers you with that one? For example, the Dominican Republic has an 18% IVA, in Argentina, 21%. Ugh. El Salvador, 13%. Guatemala and Honduras, 12%. Paraguay, 10%. Peru, 18%. And Uruguay, yep, Uruguay, 22%. But remember, about 30% of the working population in Uruguay is working somehow for government or its ancillaries. Yep, another socialist paradise dream come true. But I digress. Where were we? Oh yeah, talking about new taxes in Ecuador. How about this one? Just came about this year. A tax called the Solidarity Act establishes a mandatory contribution for those earning over $1,000 a month. In addition, companies pay a 3% tax on profits, and individuals with assets worth more than $1 million pay a one-time 1% contribution. Yeah, I like how they call it contribution. And get this, there's a 1.8% tax on foreign assets. That is, if you have money or property in what they call tax havens. Like, for example, Singapore, Bermuda, or the Channel Islands. What the f***? Yeah, right. We all know why people put their dough in tax havens. To avoid taxes, right? So you're on your honor to point that out to Ecuadorian tax authorities and pony up. And here's another Ecuadorian tax. It says for the second consecutive year, there's a tariff surcharge on imported items. This measure was imposed in 2015, which is why I suppose so many people who reside in Ecuador have been telling me that to have things shipped in from Amazon or anywhere else is about twice the cost of shipping it from the States to most other Latin countries. So bottom line, when gringos start piling in, the government sees the deep pockets, and soon enough, the taxation process gets kicked into high gear, almost always directed at that new influx of wealth, the gringos. I mean, let's face it, who orders from Amazon? Your average Ecuadorian who makes $225 a month? Yeah, right. Take the new capital gains tax on real estate. It's written in such a way, a graduated way, so that most, if not all, of average Ecuadorians aren't affected. Same with the latest Ecuadorian inheritance tax. Guess what number that kicks in at? Around $60,000. A net worth that most average Ecuadorians will never achieve. Meanwhile, a third of the gringos up in the States make more than that in 1 year. On that note, let's take a short but sweet email. This is from ABBA, as in the nearly all-blonde Swedish 70s and 80s super rock group. By the way, they have two of the biggest rock hits to ever hit the Latin American radio waves. One, that song, Fernando, and number two, Chiquitita. And you know, at the time, in the 70s and early 80s, they were smart enough to release those two songs in Spanish, which is why they became such mega hits here in Latin America. But I digress. I really digress. Anyway, this email from ABBA is short and sweet. It says, Johnny, how can I find a good dentist in Mexico City? Well, you know, the advice I'm going to give you right now serves for not only dentists, but physicians and chiropractors, ophthalmologists, whatever. Well, you know, you don't want to throw a dart at the yellow pages. Yes, they still have them down here. And you don't want to go on the internet and pick anyone you see that's on the list. And asking another gringo is not always the best thing to do either because, well, like one of the dentists in my own family said to me one time, you know, as long as you can do painless or relatively painless dentistry, other people will refer their friends and family to you. But by no means does that mean they're doing top quality work. It just means they know how to get you profoundly numb. By the way, if you go to a dentist or physician that's under 50 years old, you're almost guaranteed he's going to speak some English. So when you see an ad that says English spoken here, that just means you're going to pay higher prices. With an ad or a sign like that, he's just trolling for gringos. In fact, the other day, on the Expat Insider Tour, we went to one of those first world hospitals I'm always talking about. And the emergency room trauma doc who gave the tour pointed out that everyone who graduates from medical school these days has to take the TOEFL test. That's the same test that's required by first world universities in Europe and the States if you're a high school graduate applying for admission in one of those universities. That test is the universal standard for English fluency throughout the world, which is why almost all dentists, physicians, specialists, whatever in the medical field will speak English if they're fairly young. So what do you do next? Go visit the dentist's office, of course. Make sure it's clean, bright, and nicely furnished. Make sure the dentist and his assistant have gloves and masks. And look at the overhead light, the one he's looking in your mouth with. He should have paper inserts, covers, or some kind of disposable material covering the handle, so he's not directly touching the lamp. That minimizes cross-contamination, meaning his assistant will change those disposables between patients, hopefully. Number three, this is an important one, that the dentist or physician does not answer his cell phone while wearing gloves, and that he's not going in and out of the room to see other patients wearing the gloves he just touched you with. And remember, touching doorknobs with gloves is a no-no too. And when he comes into your room, he should put on a new pair right in front of you. And here's a real important one. Go into the visitor's restroom and make sure they've got paper towels and disposable drinking cups. No cloth towels allowed. If you see that, walk out. And of course, look for the diplomas and certificates on the wall. Medical professionals in Latin America are just nuts about displaying their credentials on the walls for everyone to see. That goes for beauticians and car mechanics, too. When I go into a medical office, I always check them out. Of course, they'll have their graduate diplomas, residency diplomas, etc. And note, if they ever took a single weekend course up in the States, in my jammy, they'll have that prominently displayed, too, and it'll be in English. To us, a weekend course means almost nothing, but to Latins, just the fact that they went to the States and had some advanced training, man, those are bragging rights. So when you're looking at the diplomas, concentrate on their medical school, their fellowships, and their graduate programs. Check the attendance dates and discount the weekend seminars. Let's face it, you don't want cataract surgery done by a GP who took a weekend LASIK course in my jammy Vegas or Tucson. Now, one thing you'll notice in Latin America, and maybe it's the same up in the States too, there are a lot of MDs and general surgeons doing plastic surgery work. Well, there's no law against it, and they're often a lot cheaper than going to a specialist. But who would you rather go to for your tummy tuck? A bona fide cosmetic slash plastic surgeon? Or a general surgeon who took a lot of weekend courses? You get the point. By the way, just talked to my favorite Latin dentist very recently. He's way off the gringo tourist trail, graduated from dental school up in the States. First class office, first class guy all around. And he tells me, though, there are certain problems when he has gringo patients. And I'm the guy who directed most of his gringo clients to him, I'm afraid. He says, many gringo patients come down with terrible problems. Broken, cracked, missing teeth. A lot of them, he says, especially the ones over 40, have put off most of their major dental work, knowing they were coming down to Latin America and therefore would get Latin prices. But like he said, unattended dental problems do compound. A problem that started 5 years ago can turn into one hell of a mess, especially when missing teeth are involved. So he says the gringos come in knowing they have major problems and a lot of work ahead of them, but they're only in town, let's say, for 2 weeks. Then they're gone again for 6 months or who knows how long. All he can do is patch them up as best as he can. Meanwhile, things keep deteriorating. Like he said, teeth don't cure or rebuild themselves. You have to go to a dentist to get that done. The good thing, of course, is that you can find real high-quality first-world dentists down here who can do the work for a quarter or a fifth or sixth of what you'd pay up in the States. All right, looks like we're getting towards the end of the show now. But before we close, I have to mention I do get some evil, insulting emails on occasion. And on the next show, I'll be reading some of them. You know what they say in the radio and media biz? If you don't get hate mail, you ain't doing it right. Betcha even Mr. Rogers got hate mail. And how about that quote out of the Bible? It goes something like this. Beware when all men speak well of you. I know what you're thinking. What's Johnny doing quoting the Bible? Well, hey, I went to Catholic school all my life. Must have read the Bible 7 or 8 times from cover to cover, which is why I can hold my own pretty well when somebody starts a-quoting it. Yep. Beware when all men speak well of you. Words of wisdom there, huh?
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.